They took him to all the meetings. And we're starting to flow as a team, aren't we? That was pretty good. Anyway, so Monica sent me some hand signals, you know. Anyway, so, and I obeyed. But anyway, but Craig Hagin, and I heard him say this several years ago when he was preaching on a Sunday morning, talking about God's word being planted in your heart. And I can remember seeing this when he was a little boy, when he was Angel's age, they would take him to those meetings, every one of them. And he would, and it didn't appear that he was getting anything because he's a 9-year-old boy. And the way they would do him is he would get on his knees in the seat on the front row next to his daddy and his mother, okay, the Hagins. And he had like a coloring book, or he had little matchbox cars, and he'd play with them up across that seat. And you think, that kid needs to be in children's church. He's not getting anything. That is not true. That's exactly right. That's a lie. Because he was grasping it, because he said that. I heard him say that about 2 years ago. He said, a lot of what I learned was when I was a 9-year-old boy playing with my matchbox cars and coloring my coloring book, listening to my grandfather, Kenneth Hagin, preach. You know why? Because it's spirit-to-spirit communication. It's going into the real person, the real man. And God's word is eternal, and Angel is an eternal being. He's going to live forever, okay? And so the real Angel is hearing the word of God. And when he goes to Living Water, okay, and he does go to Children's Church, and they're using puppets and, you know, singing songs and using illustrations or whatever, they're still portraying the principles of the word of God, and it gets into their heart. Let me give you an illustration of that. I didn't bring them, but, you know, sometimes I bring the men. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. Now, I've used the men for 40 years, all right? There's the little cutouts that I use. And back in the 80s, the late 80s and early 90s, I was privileged to be part of a church in Tulsa called Walnut Grove, and that's where David Ingles is the pastor, and that's for all those years I was allowed to play drums with him, okay? And he let me teach a lot. I mean, a lot. I mean, I would do like 10 Wednesdays in a row. He'd say, Lee, get ready. I want you to do is, you know, teach whatever the Lord tells you to, and you've got this next section of Wednesdays, okay, or sometimes Sunday mornings. And so, and I would always use the men. Now, the men, I wish I brought them, but they had two versions of the men, and both of them had brown bodies, and then they had a soul and they had a spirit, and one man had the born-again one with the renewed mind had the brown body and a green soul and a chartreuse, bright yellow inner man. And the other one had the brown body and had a red soul and then had a black or a dark man, meaning that he was spiritually dead and disconnected from God. Okay? And I would use those men back then. Well, fast forward the tape, and we had left, and we had joined church on the move, and I was attending the membership class. And during the intermission of the membership class, I was going back to the donut table, okay? I don't like doing that, but I went back and got me a donut. And as I was walking by, this lady sitting in, and I didn't recognize her, she goes, Red Soul! Red Soul! Red Soul! And I looked at her and she said, Red Soul! I remember you! I remember you! You taught on spirit, soul, and body. You taught us about who we are in Christ. I remember that. I got it. She got it. She, you know, as foolish as it may have seemed to her, that the fact that I was using those cutout paper doll men, whatever you want to call them, when I taught in prisons, that's those guys would laugh, say, "Oh, you brought the paper dolls," you know, but whatever, or the flannel figures. But she remembered that because there was a spirit to spirit communication. She got it. Okay. Anyway, so let's move on. So. The other supplemental scriptures are, I told you, are Hosea 4:6, Proverbs 20:27. And then I was going to read to you out of Ephesians 1-12, where Paul talks about that was delivered unto him the revelation of the mystery. God's word is a mystery unless you have Paul's flashlight to shine his light on it. He said, whereby in verse 3, when you read, verse 2 or 3, when you read, you'll understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. All right? And then the last one was in 2 Corinthians 3:18, where it says, as we behold with unveiled faces in the mirror of the Lord, we're changed from one degree of glory to another. That's the Greek word metamorpho, used 3 times in the New Testament. It's used, 4 times. in Matthew 17:1, Mark 7:1, Romans 12:2, and here in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and it means to have an inward change that begins to express itself outwardly. That's revelation. What that word, the best way it is expressed in nature is through the butterfly. Okay? And a caterpillar, you know, we've all seen caterpillars, and they're getting ready to all hatch. All the butterflies and moths are getting ready to lay their eggs, and you're going to see caterpillars on sidewalks, and some are good caterpillars, and some are bad caterpillars. The moths are bad guys. The butterflies are good guys, just so you know. And it's the moths that cause all the harm to all the trees and you know, create those huge nests full of all their eggs in these trees, and we call them bagworms, okay? Those are caterpillars. But regardless of the species, they all go through the same process. Now, a caterpillar, Monica, is a butterfly. It just doesn't look like one, but it is a butterfly because it already contains within it all the DNA it needs to be a butterfly. That's the new birth, okay? So a caterpillar, now, the one I like to refer to, and we're getting close to closing here, is, I believe it's the monarch butterfly. And most butterflies, they lay their eggs on the bottom side of what they call the milkweed. Now, it tells us in the Bible, it says to desire the sins, 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Okay? And now, I read this when I was preaching, itinerating back in the late 70s. Yes. That was 1980. Doesn't matter. Late 70s, early 80s. And I was teaching at a church. I was substituting for a pastor who had to go out of town. And so I was there for several weeks at this church in Bryan, Texas. Well, in Bryan, Texas, is next to Bryan, Texas, is College Station, Texas. And that's where Texas A&M University is. So I was studying some of these things, and I thought, you know, I think I'll just go see if I can get in the library, Texas A&M University. Now, you couldn't do this now. There's no way because of IDs and whatever. But I'm going to see what I can find out. And so I grabbed my briefcase, made myself look like a student. Mm-hmm. I walked right in that library like I owned the place. And it's huge. And I went in there and went to the biology section and found a book about butterflies. And I read this about butterflies. That's where I got this, from Texas A&M University. Okay. And I read this and I wrote it down. And what a caterpillar does is they lay those eggs on the bottom of the milkweed, and then they hatch and they eat the milkweed. And what a caterpillar does, Angel, is they eat and they eat and they eat and they eat and they eat. It's like going to a buffet. It's like going to Golden Corral. And they eat and they eat and they eat and they eat till they get so huge that their skin bursts. But there's another layer of skin, okay? So they eat, and they eat, and they eat, and they eat, and they eat till the next layer of skin bursts. And depending on the species, I don't know how many layers of skin they had. It's not even called skin. It's like ectoderm or something. I don't know. But anyway, but when they finally eat so much of that. And see, that's what you're supposed to do is constantly feed on God's word, his revelation to you. This is what God is saying to you, okay? And finally, when they burst through that last layer of skin, they have no more protection. So they spin a cocoon. The cocoon protects them. That's why when you see a cocoon, don't cut it open. Because they're going through a process where everything that's in them, they're losing all those little legs they had and that long body, and that body is changing into an insect. It already is an insect that's got a head and the thorax, I think they call it. Anyway, going back to high school biology, but and then they have these big, beautiful wings and long antenna and six legs. They're a butterfly, but they already were one. And then when that metamorphosis has been complete, then they claw and chew their way out of that cocoon and they fly out, and you got a butterfly. And they flit around, you know, and you think, whoa, cool, butterflies. Not really appreciating the process that got them there. Now, I'll say this. A lot of people erroneously teach that the pressure is from God and he's doing awful things in your life and he's giving you cancer and he's bringing trials to train you. No, that's a lie. Jesus said that's a lie, because he said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything that's negative and destructive, that's intended to distract you and take you away from the will of God for your life. Everything that's negative and destructive. Okay? Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. All right? So that which the cocoon process is going through a metamorphosis where you're really going through some exponential growth in the Word. I'll say this, and then I'll stop. It happens this way. You know, Joyce Meyer has a saying that I like. When you do something, do it afraid.
Go on.
You know, that's one of her sayings. Just do it afraid. And in my career in surveying, I've been doing it for 43 years. Got a college degree in it, and self-taught a lot of knowledge, and I know a lot about surveying, okay? And I finally got to a place of supervision, what they call a party chief or a crew chief, where I had other people under me, and we went out and did the field work and actually performed the surveys. And for years, I did it right, but I did it afraid because it wasn't real to me. Then one day, Monica, I was sitting in, we drove Suburbans back then, and I was sitting there, I was doing some calculations with my calculator, and it was like, the light came on. And I realized, you know, I know how to do this. And no longer was it book knowledge, but it was by instinct that I began to survey by. That's what revelation does to you. Brings you to a place where instinctively you obey God and you do the will of God. So, but the light just came on. It's just like, wow. And it just became, although there were still challenges, it just became much easier. There was no longer, am I doing it right? But you are doing it right. So let's close here. So anyway, so 2 Peter 1, 1-21, 2 Corinthians 1, 18-22, and Philippians 3, 1-16 is the basis of what I wanted to bring to you this morning. But the greatest need you have is that you need a revelation from God. And the only way you're going to ever get it is through the Word of God, and God's going to impart it to you. Amen. Finished.
Amen. So, I sent Angel to the refrigerator to get something. Because I have a little illustration that the Lord wants me to share, if you have time.
Yeah, I got time.
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay, so for myself, I got really hurt and discouraged and got really angry with God. And I turned my back on God. Okay. As a little girl, as a 12-year-old little girl. And I didn't feel like that I was good enough to pray to God. So what I did is I separated. I separated my Jesus from my God, because I could pray to my Jesus. And I've learned over time, I didn't understand the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit being one, until I seen someone do this. And then it just clicked for me. It just clicked. So I have this shell, I have the yolk, and I have the white here. I separated the egg. This is no longer the egg. That's a lie from the pit of hell. even though I separated this egg, it's still an egg. I don't know who needs to hear this, and I don't know who needs to see this, but when you invite Jesus into your heart, you've got God in your heart too. And the more time you spend in the Word and in His presence, the better it's going to be. It's still an egg. There's just three parts. There's the eggshell. There's the shell. And then the yolk and the whites. But it's still an egg. I hope that helps someone understand. I believe it will, because I don't think the Lord would ask me to share that unless there was someone that needed to hear it this morning or see that. From myself, Monica Lovell, from my grandson Angel, and from Mr. Lee Schrader, you have been watching the Hour of Power, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. Y'all have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.